covered by Huberdeau, and he gives to Jágr, winding, waiting, pulls Anderson out. Oh, Jaromír Jágr! You gotta be kidding me! Huberdeau comes in from the right side on Grubauer to the backhand. Oh, Hooby Dooby Doo, shootout style! Throws it out in front. Here's a chance. Oh,
listening to Raining Rats Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is Raining Rats Radio. I am your host, David Hovnan, and we are back to discuss the Panthers training camp for this upcoming 15-16 season. I am here with Ethan.
Hello, everyone.
And let's jump right into this. Let's start with who looked good at this camp. And there's a handful of guys. Let's start with Stephen Kampfer. I felt like he looked very good, very solid. You know, he was coming off of a very good, you know, season after the call-up. What are your thoughts, Ethan?
Yeah, Kampfer really looked like he earned a spot last season on the roster. You know, with a healthy defense core, he's really battling for time with Alex Petrovic. But Alex Petrovic looked just as good as he did last season. And Petrovic also happened to look amazing at camp, especially
fantastic
today. He was jumping into the rush, providing an offensive element, the offensive awareness that we have not seen from him at the NHL level. Last year, it was about being smart. It was an important call-up for him. The team was in a playoff race. He just wanted to do the right thing, and he got rewarded with a big club contract. He's got a 2-year, one-way deal, and he hopefully is ready to break out with some strong two-way play.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, it was a total 180 of what you usually saw from the guy. You know, after we drafted him, you know, you always thought we drafted this shutdown guy, this and that, and then yesterday and today, it was a total 180. You know, the guy was looking like a 6'5 Brian Campbell out there almost, and it was just a total opposite. Another defenseman that looked, you know, just as good, of course, I mean, as always, is Aaron Ekblad, but you kind of know what you're going to get with him. Hopefully no sophomore slump. Hopefully more point production out of him as the team scores more goals, hopefully, this season. Another guy was David Booth on the PTO here. He's changed his game a lot, you know, after the injury with his knee, his groin, the concussion 6 years ago. What are your thoughts on him?
Well, since all the injuries that David Booth has gone through, the reputation of him has changed. He's become what's known as a chess sniper, someone who shoots right into the goalie. We've had our experiences, those. Look at Thomas Fleischmann after that first year here when he led the team with 27 goals. After that, everything was shot right to the goalie's chest. Booth had gained that reputation. He had had a lot of trouble coming back from the injuries. His legs weren't churning as well. This week we saw him, and especially this weekend during training camp, I got a little extra look at him earlier in the week with some organized team workouts run by, I think it was John Madden was running them.
Yeah.
So I was looking at that. He's worked a lot on picking corners. I had a couple scouts tell me he put in a tremendous amount of work this offseason, which is not a surprise from David Booth. He's always had fantastic work ethic. His legs are working. You know, he's picking corners better. He has a legitimate chance to get a contract. And speaking of PTOs, there's another guy in a PTO that we're looking at here, Marty Havlat. He looked pretty good the last couple days at training camp, but he was paired with Jaromír Jágr. So a little Czech connection there. Jágr was basically the one who brought him in here. And, you know, keep Jágr happy. Everyone's lives will be easier. But, you know, if Havlat, he's another one. If he can stay healthy and his legs are working and his head's on his shoulders the right way, you can see production out of him. You know, Booth is more well-adjusted to the bottom six role that's probably available for the team. But if Havlat can show something this preseason, show he's got a little bit of that old spark left and stay healthy, he could surprise some people this year.
Yeah, for sure. I want to send an ad on to Booth real quick, because, you know, before Booth had the concussion and everything, he scored the 30 goals. He always thought so highly of him, you know. And then, you know, when we traded him, because I was always a big Booth fan, when we traded him, it felt necessary. You know, I didn't feel like we lost, like, a huge piece anymore. And, you know, now that he's has his different role, you know, he kind of understands his role better now. He's not a goal scorer. He's just, you know, like a third-line player. I feel like, you know, with all the fans here, you know, they get behind him still. And it's just, you know, the expectations won't be there as, you know, he's going to score 30 goals and stuff like that. But I think it's a better look at him, I think. You know, it's almost, it's a very, what's the best way to put this? You know, he'll come in, maybe score 10 goals, maybe. But it's not going to be the same Booth. It'll just be like a new reborn David Booth.
Reborn into a much lesser role.
But it could be better.
Yeah, in a way. In a way, it could be.
And as for Marty Havlat, I was not like a huge fan. Like, I've been a fan of him. I wasn't like a huge fan of him. But he's a good player when he's healthy, of course. We've seen him play at San Jose, Chicago. Yeah, was he with Ottawa at one point, I think? I'm not sure about that. Don't quote me on that. But he's always put up good numbers and stuff, so I think it could be a good addition to the team if, you know, but then that creates a logjam, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Another guy that really stood out to me, I know you didn't really care for him the last couple days, but I thought Riley Smith looked pretty good. I think it's a leap ahead of Jimmy Hayes, so I think that may be a little bit biased why I liked him, because I just think of the upgrade we got. But I think he could be a very solid player on that second line with Peary and Bukestad, but you never, I don't know, the lines are just baffling me. We have too many guys.
Yeah, and your point was absolutely, you're 100% correct. He is much leaps and bounds ahead of Jimmy Hayes. I mean, I told you today, you know, if our second line plays the right way, if it's Bukestad, Peary, Smith, if you get 25 out of Bukestad and you get 25 out of Peary, Riley Smith could have 55 assists, which would be the team record, kind of surprisingly. 55 is, I think it's an attainable goal. I personally believe the second line is going to go as the team goes. And one more little thing about Havlat. He was drafted by the Senators, so he was on the Senators before the Blackhawks. Just a little added note there. But Smith, I wasn't too impressed by him at camp. Granted, he was playing with far inferior players than what he's going to be playing with. But, you know, you'd like to see him stand out. We watched him today during shooting drills. He was missing the net like crazy. But hopefully, you know, he'll bring that added skill, the speed, the breakout ability, the hockey IQ that Jimmy Hayes didn't. And I'll open up Bukestad and Peary for added scoring chances and extra production. That's the hope with Riley Smith. I truly believe that you can realistically see 55 assists out of him this year. And it's a stretch, but I believe in it.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch. I mean, if he has 55 assists, we have to be scoring so many goals. But that would make me happy. But I don't see us scoring more than 225, which we mentioned in our last podcast. I thought we'd be around the 210 mark where we were this year. But if we are in the 225 range, that means, you know, some of these guys would be hitting the 60, 70 point marks, possibly. You know, that would be tremendous. Another guy I liked, I don't know about anybody else, I don't know if they really looked at him as much as I did, was Shane Harper, this little 5'11 guy. Played with the Chicago Wolves last season, had 32 goals with that. I thought he looked great. I mean, I think he was paired with Boland and I forgot, who else was he paired with?
Hold on, I got it on the screen here. Harper was with Boland and Howden
for
much of the game.
I thought he looked great. I mean, I mean, he has like a high motor. He's good offensively, he's solid defensively. He probably will never make the team, but I just liked him a lot. I feel like it's the guy you can get behind.
He's a good pickup. He's a good pickup for San Antonio, especially with Bobby Butler leaving
good
to go
depth.
To the...
And if stuff just goes terribly wrong here, we can bring him on up.
Right. I mean, he was fifth in the AHL in goals last year with 32. Yeah. So definitely someone you can keep your eye on.
Like, if half the team gets hurt, expect him to be called up.
Hopefully not.
Jágr looked good for a guy that's 43 years old. I saw a funny picture of him. He's with the seatbelt in his locker. I don't know what the hell that was for.
I think it's his back brace.
Yeah, so Jágr, hopefully big season. I don't. But if we sign Havlat, do you put Havlat with Jágr, or do you keep that first line together of his last season?
You got to start with the first line together, but, you know, at some point you'd probably see it. Like I've said before, you can't expect the first line to match what they did last season. It's just, it's not feasible to have three guys going at a point per game for an entire year. You can get them hot, you can get them going for a certain stretch, but at some point, lines are going to change in the NHL. You know, in NHL, rosters are a living, breathing creature, and things change. People get hurt, people struggle, you know, people who you weren't expecting to play well play really well. You know, Dave Bolin comes out, scores 30 goals this year, and everyone's like, oh, wow. A first liner. Yes, 5.5 mil. Great bargain.
Oh, boy.
Of course, that's not happening. Don't quote me on that. Just sarcasm. Yeah, but, you know, things change. Is my point.
Well, we saw that in the playoff year. You know, for the first month and a half, you had Weiss, Versteeg, Fleischmann just scoring at a pace of nothing we've seen in the last, you know, 12 years before that. You know, when you had Bure and Kozlov on the same line. You know, you had these guys, they were one of the best lines in the league. They were, I think, top five as a line in points, or, you know, or first or second. They were up there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
in December, they were, in December, I remember them being the top line in the NHL.
And then, that didn't work out the whole season, of course. Injuries happened, this and that. But, I mean, if the Barkov, Huberto, Jágr line can start off like that, maybe better for like a month. You know, that means the team's getting off to a great start, you know? And that's what this team needs to make the playoffs, if, you know, they have any chance. They need a great start, you know? If they finish the month, I don't know how many games we play, but let's say if we just play 10 games, we win six of those 10, I think we're in a good spot.
Right. Right, you know, if we go like 6-2-2 the first month, that's a really,
really
good start. And it's what you're going to need in this Eastern Conference. You're going to need to get off to a hot start.
And you're going to get the ROWs up. So
absolutely.
Hopefully with the 3-on-3, we get a little bit more offense going in overtime. Another guy is Connor Brickley from the rookie tournament on. The guy, he's been great, I thought. I've become a big fan of him over the last week or so. I've never really looked high in him, but I know you have.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time I watched him was the 2010 rookie camp right after we drafted him. And I knew that kid had it. I knew he had it. Had some struggles at Vermont for a few years. He was the forgotten soul of that 2010 draft. I mean, it was good. Branson 3, Bukestad 19, Howden 25, McFarland 33, Petrovic 36, and Brickley 50. He was our sixth pick that round that year. You know, and second round pick. You know, high pick, and everyone had forgotten about him because of everything else that was going on in his underwhelming college career. But you know. That's a guy who's really just a – he can really end up being a much better version of Sean Bergenheim if he can stay healthy, if he can keep it going. He was – what was he, fifth in the AHL in rookie scoring last season?
Yeah.
I believe Grimaldi was like seventh or eighth. And, you know, I love Connor Brickley. I love him. He's got all the tools. He's got speed. He's got skill. He's got size, physicality. He's smart on the defensive side of the puck. He's exactly what you want in the third line winger.
Yeah, I don't know. He has some good offensive skills. You know, you compare him to Bergenheim, and I think the team is missing somebody like that. You know, Bergenheim is very high tempo. You know, will grind out in the corners, stuff like that. And I feel like the team could use something like that. But again, log jam, the lines, blah blah blah.
We'll get into that.
I thought Kyle Rowell looked good. He was paired with Bukestad, and I forgot who else is on their wing. But those two guys, just they have a connection that, I don't know, goes back all the way to Minnesota and before that, probably.
Yeah, Rao, first day he was with McKagan Kraus. The second day he was bumped up with Bukestad and Shaw. And he played a lot with Bukestad in the 4-on-4.
Yeah.
And again, they were line mates at Minnesota, like you said. They have the connection. I think they were roommates at Minnesota, too.
Possibly.
So, you know, I mean, Rao, he was third-round pick in 2011. He's a guy who very well could see some games this year if injuries provide it. But again, hopefully team can stay healthy. Smaller guy, but he plays much bigger than he is. He's like Trocheck in the fact that he's got a motor that just doesn't stop. Just always going, clicking, energy, high tempo. He does everything right. You know, he doesn't do anything too particularly well, but he's just very well-rounded in the sense that he could carve himself a nice niche role as an NHLer.
Yeah. And I think he could be better than Trocheck, honestly. I don't know. I see some flashes here and there. And I think he could be a very good player. I think he's kind of like a hidden gem we got. I believe he was also the Minnesota Mr. Hockey as well as Bukestad. I think it was like back-to-back they were.
I don't know about that one. I gotta look that up. We're doing a lot of live research on this show.
Hey, man. Keeping him. One guy that stood out to me was Senna Akalas. I won't say his last name right, I'm sure. But he looked very good. Offensive defenseman. He didn't get caught in his own end very much. Like, I thought he was good defensively for a guy who has a lot of offense. But again, another AHLer. If 7 defensemen get hurt, he'll be called right up. But hopefully that doesn't happen. I mean, he could be a good player. I mean, I wouldn't put him over Uyghur, who struggled a little bit last year in the pros, in the AHL, ECHL, wherever he was. But I feel like he was a good player. He showed a lot. I doubt he's with the team past Monday. Same with Harper. They'll both be sent down.
Right.
But they both look good. I thought they had a solid camp, but they won't make the team.
Absolutely. And to go back to your point about Kyle Rao, you're absolutely right. 2010, Bukestad was Mr. Hockey. 2011, Kyle Rao was Mr. Hockey of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So good stuff there. Good stuff, David.
All right, let's get into guys who didn't look as good and guys who need a big year. And there's one guy that's going to come up and everybody's going to ride. But we'll first start with Dylan Olsen, who had some off-ice problems last season. You know, he played a third of the season with us and then missed a lot of time because of some problems.
Yep.
But he didn't look that good. When we first got him, everybody liked him. He scored a few goals. He hit a lot of people. You know, it was like him and Gudbranson were Bash Brothers out there, you know, at one point. But yeah, he kind of just fell off, you know, from that production of goals. You know, it wasn't like a realistic pace for him. But defensively, he wasn't as good.
Right. I mean, after that last game, everyone saw that send down coming.
Yeah.
It was the game against Detroit where he directly led the 3 goals. You know, he's still right now kind of like the 8th guy on the team. But even though he's got a one-way deal this year, it's most likely he's getting sent down to start the year. You know, and this is a situation. Guy had off-ice issues after the send-down. He, you know, whatever it was that happened, there's been speculation about some things. He's a guy who's going to have to work his way back. And he has enough talent to do it. But he's going to really have to work hard. He's probably going to get top-line minutes down there at San Antonio. Probably going to be their number one defenseman. So it's very possible that he can work his way up. I mean, him and Matheson are going to be the first 2 call-ups if guys get injured. So
they seem possibly.
Yeah, we have not seen the last of Dylan Olsen, but don't expect him on the opening night roster. And he did not look very good at camp. I mean, he got dangled by Dave Boland on the first shift of the scrimmage this morning. So you know it's bad when Dave Boland pulls out a dangle on you.
Next, though, it was Gudbranson. I didn't think he looked okay in camp. But he's getting around that 300 game mark, you know, Denny Poffett, 300 games, you know, that's how you know. That mark's coming up this year, I believe, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's getting close to it. Is he going to take that next step? I mean, I don't think so.
Good, Branson's at 245 games right now. Right, is he going to take that next step? Man, it's going to be...
like the headman next step, like
it's not going to be
good. Like
he's not getting a headman next step. The next step for Good Branson
flip.
If next step for Good Branson would just be smarts, just smarter positional play, better balance, not going out of his way to make the big hit and out leaving his deep partner and goaltender out to dry, just simplifying his game bit, getting more shots through on net, looking for screens in front. Clearing the crease better, not getting out-muscled. You know, it's just we're not going to see that big offense out of him. Yeah. I truly don't believe that. But if he can just play the simple game, look what happened with Petrovic last year. He came up, he played a simple game. He earned himself a contract. This is the last year of Gudbranson's bridge deal, and I think by the trade deadline, we're going to know where the team stands with him. If he doesn't break out by the trade deadline, I think we could see... we could see a move, and it would catch a lot of people off guard. But, at this point, you know, Petrovic looks like he could be passing him on the depth chart. Kampfer looks like he could be passing him on the depth chart. Weegar and Schemmitz are down there, all right-handed shots. You know, Gudbranson needs to have a big year this year. And by big, just simple. Just be a good, solid, shutdown D-man who's not a minus 30 is really the key for Gudbranson this season.
Yeah, and, a guy he was compared to was, like, Chris Pronger, you know, and I don't think he, at the 300 game mark, he's going to turn into Chris Pronger because, you know, he's one of the best that played in a shutdown game anyways. But we'll save that for another story later on in the season. We'll see how that pans out.
One more thing about that, you know, look at what happened with Dmitry Kulikov last year.
Yeah.
You know, Willie Mitchell came in, Mark Morris came in. Those guys, you know, Morris has since left. Willie's on his last year. He's probably going to retire after the season. What Kulikov did this year, he simplified his game. He made smarter decisions, played better defensively. You know, he wasn't as flashy with offense, but he still knows how to move the puck. He just played the smarter game. And he looked much better for it. You know, we're all loving Kulikov now. The last couple years, we were dying to trade him as a fan base.
I was a fan. I always liked him. I don't know. I felt like he's a solid player. I thought he got some unnecessary hate.
Yeah, but you know, you saw what he did last. Last year was his best season by far, even though the offense wasn't necessarily there.
Yeah.
In the bulk that he was drafted to be, and if Gudbranson could just have that type of season where he just becomes a better hockey player, then we don't really have too much to worry about. But he's got to take that kind of step. We don't have to worry about him going out scoring 10 goals, getting, you know, 40 points. It's not going to happen with Gudbranson.
Yeah. But,
you know, if he can pitch in, you know, 20 points in a season, maybe, if we're really lucky, while playing smart defensively, then absolutely, then he's set. That's all we need from him at this point. Mm-hmm. Just be a good, solid shutdown guy, and you'll be rewarded for it.
Yeah, and I have Kulikov on the list of guys that need to have a big season. I think he needs a big season. He passed the 300 game mark. I think he can still improve. But let's go on to Jussi Jokinen, who I didn't feel like he had a great year last year. I know he was up there in points, but I didn't feel like he was anything special. You know, it was like a shootout specialist, you know, just picking up some points. That's what I felt like.
What's wrong with secondary assists? Everyone loves those. I'm not a fan. Everyone loves secondary assists.
Not a fan of secondary assists. Yeah, no, I think they should be taken away.
I was not a big Jussi Jokinen fan last year either, even though he was up there in points. Obviously he's not playing with Evgeny Malkin anymore, but you got to score more than 8 goals, man. And with the ice time you were getting for much of the season, you gotta put the puck in more than 8 times. You know, give us 15 at least. Just do something. You're considered a veteran leader on this team, and you know he's a guy. He got a 4-year, $4 million contract. You know, he could be a buyout candidate if this year doesn't go very well for him. Honestly, I mean, with the young guys we got coming up now, with a lot of guys looking to be ready, Jokinen could be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 32 now. He's you know, coming off.
He's had problems in the past, too. He was on waivers not too long ago.
Yeah, and no one even claimed him.
Exactly.
So, you know, he's going to look to turn around. I mean, yeah, he had a decent point year last year, but hopefully, you know, if he can actually just put up similar production while just being, you know, better overall. You know, 15 goals, 50 points. What did he have last year, 50? Did he have 50 points?
I think 40 he was like 48, 49. I remember he had like 30-something assists. He had a lot of his secondaries.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, you give us 15 goals, 45 points, because he's going to be playing on the third line most likely, so it's not going to be easy for him to get that. But if he can just, you know, play a little better. His decision-making didn't seem too great last year. He's a pretty smart hockey player. He just has to kind of get into a groove, I guess. You know, I just was not impressed at all by him last year, and he was really quiet at camp, even though he was kind of the extra man
for
the scrimmage today. He was playing on a bunch of different line combinations. Him and Huberto were the extra men that were kind of just being rotated around. So, you know, but hopefully we'll see a couple more goals out of Jokinen this year, because that's what he's here for. He's not here to pick up secondary assists. He's here to score goals.
Yeah, talking of you, I don't have him written down on this list, but I know a lot of people are saying Huberto needs a huge year. But, I mean, on this bridge deal, I mean, if he wants to get paid in 2 years, I mean, yeah, he needs two really good years, you know?
What a deal that is. We didn't even talk about that deal.
No, I mean, what's it, 3.5 per AAV,
you know? 3.25.
Okay, so... I mean, it's a good contract, good bridge contract. I'm a big fan of bridge contracts.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good deal. Nothing, you know, you don't need anything long term yet. I was kind of surprised we signed Bukestad at long term last season. But we'll get more into that later. I didn't think Kraus was that good. I'm not gonna say who I'm gonna compare him to.
Don't do it. Spoilers, he compares him to Jimmy Hayes, I get mad.
Oh, boy.
It's awful. Don't say that. Don't kill me. Don't put that curse on us, man. He's much better than Jimmy Hayes. Come on. He's got more hockey IQ, and he's smarter defensively
than Jimmy Hayes. I was at the draft, man, and I saw Rantanen get picked, and I knew it was coming.
We all knew it was coming.
I was sad.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry. I wanted Meyer. You wanted Rantanen. I was actually kind of hoping we'd trade back.
I Meyer, too. Rantanen was just like, he's huge, he's skilled, and then we get this guy who's ready. He's NHL ready, but he doesn't have the potential as a first-line, second-line player. He's the depth guy, which is not something you want at 11th overall, in my opinion.
Well, but, based on this camp, he's not NHL ready.
No, not at all. Not even at the rookie camp.
He didn't stand out. He didn't stand out at any point.
Good at either one. He was not as physical as he said he would be. Offensively, he was not that good. Defensively, he was okay. Neutral zone play was decent.
I mean, yeah, he's gonna get his games in probably start the season. I don't know if we're gonna give him the full nine like we say we are. Depends how he looks in preseason. Depends how he looks in those first few games. He's a different player too.
You know, you never know with these guys. Right. You know,
I mean, he's still 18 years old. Yeah. So, you know, it's not 100% everything set in stone with him. But remember, he does have that. I think it's 8 games to serve down there. So we'll
just turn it on. You know, tomorrow. You know, when the preseason game starts, he can turn it on opening night. You know, maybe he's just not a small games kind of guy. He wants to play in these real games where he'll show up and stuff, so you never know. But as of right now, he has not seemed special at all, you know, even though he's a depth guy, which is I don't like that term at 11th overall. Next we have Racine, Jonathan Racine, who's played one NHL game. I feel like he can really step it up a bit this year. I feel like he's maybe like the 9th guy. Matheson is over him. I've been a fan of him. I like his physical game, but he needs to get better defensively and offensively. But he could almost be there. Like, you know, he could just take one leap and he could be there.
Right. I mean, he's not far off. He just, you know, he's another one. Just smart, play smart.
Yeah. You know,
again, he's not a guy who we're going to expect to score a bunch of goals. He had no goals last year, I think. right? Zero goals, five assists, something like that.
I'm not sure.
He's not a scorer. He's a shutdown physical guy who's gonna get in your face. He's gonna hit you. He's gonna drop his gloves. You know, he's just got to work a little bit on positioning. I was reading stuff about him getting better down the stretch in terms of his positioning and his overall quality of play, which is good to hear. But you know, he's another one. He can just come up, be a bottom pairing shutdown defenseman, and we'll be perfectly happy with him. I believe he was a 5th round pick, right? Hold on, I got it in front of me. Jonathan received. Third round pick, 2011. Yeah, and I remember that game. He came up against the Islanders and took a penalty in the first 9 seconds of the game. There's your scene.
That was a pretty good hit, though, I thought. I wouldn't have penalized them.
No.
Uyghur is another one. I feel like, you know, he didn't have a good first pro season, but I feel like he could improve a lot. 7th round pick in 2012, I think.
I think 2013.
Yeah, so I mean, he could almost be there, I think. But you know, there's still a lot of work on. He's a smaller guy, offensive defenseman, can get way better at defense for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and again, smart play, you know, can lead to a lot of good things.
Right.
And the last guy I have on this list is, of course, Dave Boland, who earned 9 point whatever per goal last season. Scoring 6 goals, so he made it under the million mark, which I guess he's earning his money. But hopefully he stays healthy this season. I kind of called him last year. I think he, I don't know if he got over 50, but I said he wouldn't play over like 55, and he was close to that. Yeah. So this year I'm going to say he won't play over 65.
Oh, so
I'll give him a few more. He's just injury prone, man. Some guys just can't help themselves. Marty Havlat's always hurt. You know, David Booth has injury problems. It just happens. You know, some of these guys are just brutal. You know, they're drinking the wrong water or something.
Man, game's lost. Here we come.
Hopefully, you know, we're not in that like Pittsburgh territory where everything just seems to go wrong. Happens to Pittsburgh. You know,
it's all at the wrong time.
It's awful.
Yeah, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
All right, with Boland, you know, we were just talking about this before we went on. We're trying to define what a big season is for him, because you know when he's healthy, he's good at what he does. He's solid third line defensive penalty kill kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Should he be making $5.5 million?
No.
But again, I'm not gonna blame a guy for taking a 60% raise. He did the same amount of work. That's just my theory about that. You know, everyone else hates him. That's fine. But, you know, what can we realistically expect out of Dave Boland?
I think 35 points.
Right. What's his career high? 39? 40?
I think he's at 50. Or he's close to it. It was like his second or third season where he was playing like on the second line in Chicago.
Hold on.
But I don't think that's saying much, because Chicago scores a lot of goals. So, and you know, if we score a lot of goals, of course he's going to get some points. I think that's just a given.
Yeah, you're right. His career high was 47 points in 81 games.
That's the most games he's ever played. So
he hasn't played more than
56. I wouldn't say if he plays 82 games this year, he's going to have that many points. If he does play 82 games, I would say like 40 points if we score a lot of goals, because, you know, if we're scoring a lot of goals, it just, you know, the points just go up. You know, you look at these teams that, you know, look at the Stars, they had the most goals, our Ross winner, you know, it just comes with it.
Right. And, you know, I mean, we can go back to Jussi Jokinen with this one. You know, if Boland's healthy and he can, you know, get, you know, 35, that'll help out Jokinen's production as well on the third line. You know, it could help out Trocheck, who's been listed as a winger for this season. So that's a spot that very well looks like it might be occupied, which is just more competition. You know, people talking about Grimaldi. Then, you know, we're looking at outsiders like Brickley and Howden, and you got Garrett Wilson in there, and you got Booth. Sean Thornton's going to probably be the guy who rotates out as a healthy scratch for most of the time. You know, we're going to get into that in a little bit here.
We'll get into it, you know, right now.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Forget Bolin. No one wants to talk about Bolin anyway. No one likes him here, unfortunately. I
mean, we'll get into our forward locks. Of course, you know, you have Huberto, Barkov, Jágr, Riley Smith, Bukestad, Jokinen, Peary, Bolin, Trocheck, McKenzie. I think I got them all. I think those are all the locks.
And Thornton is locked for the NHL roster, but he's going to be out to scratch 55 games this year.
I have him
year.
On the fringe because the fringe is kind of like the rotation, I guess.
Yeah.
I have Kraus in the fringe because I know he's going to get his tryout. I don't think he stays. You know, another guy that's there is Grimaldi. I'm a huge fan of Rocco, but there's no room for him, and it makes me mad.
Right. And something very important. Very important to note with Rocco Grimaldi. This training camp, he was playing center.
Yeah.
And that's really important to note because for him to make it, he's going to have to play wing. And he struggled last season at wing in the AHL in San Antonio. His production from wing to center, when he made the shift, I think it was about halfway through the season, he made the shift to center, and that's when he got about maybe 3/4 of his production, his offense. So that's something he's still really going to have to work on, because a center on this team, you know, the only way you're going to get Grimaldi as a top two center on this team is if one of Barkov or Bukestad busts or have major injury problems, and we don't want to see that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people talk about Rocco, he's had one pro year. He has, you know, he didn't do anything too special. 42 points in the AHL.
It led the league in OT goals, all right?
Yeah, it's respectable, but, you know, why are we rushing someone? Why are we just going to throw him up here? The roster's basically full.
Yeah.
There's a couple guys that I have ahead of him on this list, and the role he'd be playing would essentially be fourth line. No reason to throw him on the fourth line in the NHL when he could be playing top line minutes in the AHL for Portland. And he could be scoring, and he can try to improve on that 42. Because I don't think he scored more than 50 points at the college level plus the AHL level. He hasn't really blown anyone away with his offensive totals. So I love him. I mean, he's got all the skill in the world. He's tremendous, tremendous speed, tremendous attitude, fantastic work ethic. But I still think he has a lot of work to do. And he really has to learn how to play wing, because if he can make that transition to right wing and do it successfully, he could be a very big piece of the puzzle going forward.
Yeah, and I didn't really add him to my list, but he was great these last couple of days. We didn't talk about him, but...
Oh, absolutely.
He was great. Like, he had a wonderful goal today from Huberto, and you can watch that on the website, or, you know, if you follow Ethan on Twitter, I'm sure you saw it.
Yeah,
it great posted goal, that video. Great play overall. You know, it was great saucer pass from Huberto, and then, you know, he took it out of the air and settled it down.
And then went bar down
on Britain, I believe.
Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Next fringe player, we have Garrett Wilson. I heard a lot of stuff about him. I guess they're very high on him. You know, he played a few games with us last year. Could be a good fourth line player. You never know. I don't know if he might make the roster, but again, you have Grimaldi and Kraus and all these other guys that also might make the opening night roster. So I don't know.
Yeah. Right. The thing with Garrett Wilson, fourth round pick in 2009, he was the captain of the Owen Sound attack. Of the guys that we have on the fringe here, he's really the best suited to play fourth line.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have all this tremendous skill like, you know, someone like Grimaldi has. So he wouldn't be a waste on the fourth line. You know, he's someone who you know, can adjust. I mean, the big thing with him is, you know, he's not incredibly fast. You know, his hockey IQ may not be the best. But, you know, if he's on the fourth line, I feel like he can adjust very well to the NHL.
Yeah. And,
you know, he could carve out a niche. You know, look at guys who've done it before. I mean, Sean Thornton made a living, although it was at a different time. You know, Dan Pye, Greg Campbell, Derek McKenzie, all guys who have made a living on the fourth line playing just, you know, solid two-way game.
They're key guys, you know, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, you need them. You need those guys to grind out, you know, other teams' lines, you know, tire them out.
Right.
Because it's kind of a waste if you have your skilled guys do it, because then they're tired, you know. You have these guys that just go out there and work, you know. You always hear the expression, they put their hard hats on and stuff like that.
All right, Bill Lindsay.
But, I mean, it's true. They just go out there and work, you know.
Absolutely.
For 45 seconds, you know, they just all out.
And that's what Garrett Wilson is. He's a worker. He was the captain of his junior team for a reason. He was a hardworking individual with good leadership. You know, he's someone who I actually think very well could be that guy. A lot of people aren't talking about him because they're talking about Booth on the tryout. They're talking about Grimaldi and Kraus, and they're talking about Did I say Howden?
No, Howden.
People are talking about Brickley now as a fourth liner, although I'd leave him down as much as I love him. So, you know, there's tons of competition for what's essentially going to be one spot. But I do like Garrett Wilson. By the way, he's not a talent draft pick. I don't, you know, people always talk about the talent draft pick.
Yeah, forget about Garrett Wilson. You know, he's not a guy you think of at first.
Right, but he's someone who really could carve out that niche. And I really would like to see him get the chance. He looked pretty good in the two games he got last season, both against Chicago. And I look forward to it. I think if Booth and Havlat falter during the preseason, then Garrett Wilson's our guy.
Yeah. And, you know, that could help, you know, send some of these guys down. You know, that's kind of what I say with Booth and Havlat. You know, Booth could be very good on the third line with Jokinen and Bolin. Like, I feel like that could be a good line. You know, Booth adds some speed. Jokinen's kind of fast. Bolin can play defensively. They won't score a ton of goals, but I don't know how many teams expect their third line to score a ton of goals. But I feel like if you put Booth in there, it helps you send down somebody like Rocco Grimaldi instead of wasting him on the third line.
Right.
Or Kraus, you know. And if you have Havlat, I don't know where you it's either Booth or Havlat. You can't have both. I would rather have Booth because
of the role that he'd be playing. Havlat's not, he's not a bottom player. He's not a bottom line guy. He's a skill guy. Yeah. I mean, they've tried him on the bottom lines. He just hasn't adjusted very well. Whereas Booth, he's readjusted his game to it, which is a very big positive for his career.
Yeah, and he has the speed for it. And Havlat doesn't really have the speed Booth does. And, you know, he's a very skilled player. You know, I like him a lot. And it kind of pains you to say we won't have this good skilled guy because, you know, all these spots are taken. But, you know, you can't really necessarily sign him and sit him all the time until a spot opens up. And you have Sean Thornton, who's just going to, of course, in and out whoever is on the fourth line. I don't know who that. I mean, if you have McKenzie, Thornton, Garrett Wilson, who would sit? Right. You know? Like, you know, you can't put Kraus in the box. Like, you know, you can't put Kraus in the press box. You know, you can't put Grimaldi in the press box. And I mean, it's just a tough place where we are, you know. It's just like a whole jam for forwards. And it baffles me sometimes, you know. It's just hard to think of who you would sit, you know.
And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it. You know, we're talking about, oh man, we gotta send Grimaldi down. Everyone loves Grimaldi. I mean, I'm probably gonna get chastised for saying such Travis word, like, awful things like that, you know. But, you know, if we have veteran players who can take those spots, let them season, let them grow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's, you know, no reason to force a guy. You know, like, for me, if I'm looking at these guys here we have listed, it's Garrett Wilson or Booth for me that I'd have on that fourth line. I'd have Grimaldi in the AHL. I'd have Howden in the AHL. This is a big year for Howden, by the way. He needs to prove himself, stay healthy, put up some numbers, because he only got a one-year deal this offseason, so he could very well get a Michael Hauser treatment and just randomly not get a tender from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'd have Brickley in the AHL, let him grow. So, you know, I mean, we have good young players. No reason to make them make a jump when they don't necessarily have to. We can be a competitive team without those guys. Yeah. Injuries are going to hit at some point. We all know this. It's a given. So we're going to see these guys at some point, just hopefully not too much, not in bulk. Mm-hmm. You know, and if they play good, if they earn a spot, so be it. Great. Whoever makes the team best is who needs to be on the ice for the best chance to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. And, you know, one guy, I'm looking at his name right now, we haven't really mentioned him, is Trocheck. You know, I feel like we just kind of skipped all over him. And where does he fit in all of this, too? So it's like, you know, if you figure Boots on the third line, where do you even put Trocheck at? You know, he's another skilled guy who needs to be, I feel like he needs to be in the top six. I feel like he's a good player, good skilled player. That's better than the bottom six. So, I mean, it's awful. Like, it's an awful situation. It's a good thing, though, but I mean, where do you put him, honestly?
Well, good news is they did have him making the transformation to wing this year.
Yeah.
In preseason, he was playing wing, so that's a positive. I believe right now he's third line wing. He would be above Booth. He'd be third line right wing, and if it's Booth getting signed or Wilson getting the call, they'd be the fourth line left winger,
mm-hmm.
or something along those lines.
See, like what I would do, because I'm a big fan of speed. I would bump Jussi Jokinen from that line, but you can't because you pay him too much.
Right.
And he's just kind of a skilled player. But I would do Booth and Trocheck on the wings with Bowen because, you know, they're all good defensively and it has some speed on the wings, which helps.
Yeah.
And Booth, you know, he still has some skill to him, you know, not much, but still some. And Trocheck's a good skilled guy. And Bowen, you know, he could stand there and just dump in the garbage. Long shots, you know, we said Brickley, Howden. Is, I know some people said Howden could make the fourth. I don't think so. I don't know about Howden at this point. He's looking like a career AHLer to me at this point. But you never know. You know, the guy has great speed. He just can't use his hands when he's using his legs, though, you know.
His legs are too fast for his brain, basically. Yeah. But you know what? I wouldn't give up on him yet. He's had trouble staying healthy.
Yeah.
And that's been the big key. Step one for him, stay healthy. Step two, put up some numbers this year. You get that deal, you can, you know, he can carve out a niche as a fourth liner. I mean, someone like Dan Pae, who was a first-round pick back with Buffalo, he ended up carving a niche as a fourth liner for Boston for years, part of that Merlot line with Thornton and Campbell. They won a cup. They were an integral part of that team. So it's possible, you know, that you can get a big, fast guy who, you know, maybe doesn't have the world's best skill, but he showed some skill today at the scrimmage. He had a couple really nice setups.
Yeah. For other he had guys. That great goal with Trocheck, you know, yeah. Actually. It was just like a little 1-2 back and forth, and Trocheck scored it. And I thought that was a great play from Howden. Good vision.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, so he does have skill. It's not like it's non-existent. He just, you know, his hands aren't fantastic.
Yeah, he doesn't have a great shot. You know, he doesn't, you know, he can't really, doesn't have like the hands of Barkov or Huberto. But he has tremendous speed, though. You know, he can really grind out teams.
And he's big. He's big and he has speed. So you can get him on the forecheck. He can really do damage.
Yeah, he's a very thin looking guy. If you get more stock and, you know, buffed up maybe.
Yeah.
He might lose some speed, but maybe it could help him. You never know.
Yeah, he's still got plenty of speed. If he can burn a little off, it's all right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the world end of the world for him.
Yeah, we have Brickley here as a long shot. I think, you know, not this season, maybe next season he could step up. You know, maybe a call-up, get a game or two if somebody does get hurt. He looked great in the rookie tournament. He had a few goals, like two or three goals. I was there at the first game. He just had a great shot from top of the circle. Yeah, it was just beat. I forgot who was a net for Washington. He just beat him over the blocker.
Yeah,
it was a great shot from pretty far out. And I didn't see his second goal. I know he scored the next day. I don't know if he scored in the third game.
Yes, he did. He scored one goal in every game in the tournament.
Okay, so, I mean, I think he was the best player. He stood out the most.
Yep.
You know, him or Rao stood out a lot. But, you know, those guys are very long shots. But eventually, you know, they'll be here because contracts run out and stuff. And with the free agent market nowadays, it's, you know, you never... I'm not going to get some superstar unless Stamkos wants to come here, but I doubt that. let's move on to defensemen, unless you have something else to say about Howden.
No, actually, I was going to bring up a defenseman that we haven't really talked about.
Defenseman locks, Camphor, Ekblad, Petrovic, Campbell, Mitchell, Kulikov, Gudbranson. I feel it's seven guys. Who sits out opening night?
I have Camphor sitting out.
Really?
And it's nothing against him. Mm-hmm. It's just you're not going to bench Gudbranson opening night. You're definitely not benching Kulikov. You're definitely not benching your captain. Campbell and Ekblad are going to be your horses, and it's down to Petrovic and Camphor. And Petrovic just looks better and better every time we see him.
Imagine they just bench Willie Mitchell opening night.
Bench Willie Mitchell. Oh, that's awful.
Oh, man, that would be something.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, you know, you're going to have Ekblad, Campbell, Mitchell, Kulikov, or Mitchell with Petrovic, maybe.
I could see that.
And then Kulikov, Gudbranson.
Or maybe Kulikov with Petrovic.
Yeah, I feel like they should put... I don't know, like... I mean,
Mitchell's, 38, 39 years old now. So, I mean, he doesn't need the top 4 minutes. Exactly. Even though Gallant does a good job at splitting him up.
Put him with Gudbranson, maybe. Yeah, I mean... Learn a thing or two.
Yeah, Willie Mitchell's the player Gudbranson most resembles. And Mitchell did great for Kulikov last year.
Yeah, so. But Kulikov needs somebody more of his skill. Like, Kulikov's been paired with... players not as skilled as him his whole career so far.
Right.
You know, but you can't pair him with Campbell because of Ekblad. But, I mean, I feel like Ekblad could hold his own with whoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Kulikov, Campbell. I mean, it would be fun. Like, it's better than seeing Kulikov and Weaver because that was awful. And that was the seat everybody wanted to trade the guy because... You know, he is a D partner that can't move the puck, and, you know, if they're just being stuck in their own end the whole game, then you can't really blame Kulikov, but then they're like, oh, Weaver, he blocks 1,000 shots a game. Like, yeah. Like, you know, I don't think you can fault Kulikov for that. That's why I was really never on the trade Kulikov bandwagon. But, you know, like, I feel like the deep pairings will stay the same, but if Camphor does sit out, you know, you're going to have to put Gudbranson and Petrovic together. I feel like Petrovic can be in the top four now.
I think we could see, you know, things are going to work themselves out over the preseason.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, nobody thought that, you know, it was going to be Campbell Ekblad as your top pair on opening night, and that's how it worked out, and that's how it was all season. And they were a good pair. Both of them each got a third place Norris vote, so.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully Ekblad gets some more Norris. I mean, I don't know if he gets some Norris votes in the second season. That'd be something. Yeah. But Petrovic's just done, like, I can't believe it, man. It's like a total 180, different player. I don't know who this guy is anymore. Number. Yeah. It has to be the number change, I guess.
And you didn't even like the number.
I'm not a fan of number six, you know.
Magnus Johansson, dude.
It's a Magnus. Weird number, man. It's,
Magnus. My favorite Panther ever.
I don't know. We're 24. I can't wear 24. I have what's wearing 24, but give him 24 for Shvela or something, you know?
Shvela. You know what? If Petrovic's going to be a monster with number six, let him wear number six.
Give him the number four, you know. You know, Bowman, if you're out there.
Oh, God. That number should just be retired reasons of no.
Well, they had Ellerby. Bowmister and Ellerby. Ellerby were for you, right?
Bowmister and Ellerby, just never use that number again.
I don't know. Patrick, I can't believe it. It's totally incredible. Different player. Like, I don't want to say, like, he could be, like, a top two. But, I mean, if he, like, improves that much over one offseason, if he, like, can improve and improve and improve, he can be up there with Ekblad as, like, you know, the 1-2. But I wouldn't look ahead that far just yet. But I think right now he could be at the top four.
Yeah, absolutely. And that would be a good role for him. You know, if he can, like we said, if he can play the solid two-way game, bring in that offense while still being good defensively like we know he is, you know, he could very well end up as a top four defenseman who's, you know, helping the team out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and he'd be a good partner going forward for Kulikov because he does have skill. He just he hasn't really shown it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing it this weekend, which is just fantastic to see that he has the confidence in himself to do that now. You know, we hadn't seen it at rookie camps or training camps in years past even. Like today, he just exploded.
He was
every
playing
rush.
More forward than defense. Really? Like, that's how much he was jumping up.
I don't know how many times Bukestad had to cover the point for him. It was, I'm not complaining, though. I mean, he's a big guy. He can get in on the forecheck. He can get in on the forecheck, and he can staple gun you to the boards.
Mm-hmm.
He can cause turnovers down low if he wants to.
And he's a good skater, you know. That's,
yeah, for size, absolutely.
Exactly, and you don't see that in like Gudbranson. Gudbranson's a bad skater, and you know you would think, you know, some of these people who watch hockey casually, they're like, you know, they're a pro. You know, how are you a bad skater? And there's several guys that are terrible skaters. You know, look like Scott Hartnell or Milan Lucic, Jimmy Hayes, who looks like he's about to tumble over every time. He's about to,
Kendall McCarthy.
Oh boy, like, you know, some of these guys just can't skate. You know, it's. Yeah, they're pros, but doesn't mean, like, you know, look at Ovi. Ovi can skate. Like, that guy is a good skater. Like, Sid is a good skater. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Even when Sid's on his stomach, he's a better skater than everyone.
There was a move Sid did against McKinnon, and it was just a great move. Like, it looked like he was going to circle to the right, and then he just cut back to the left super quick. Like, it was, it was great.
And down went McKinnon.
Yeah, like, you see that? I can never stop watching that because he just looked, you know, just broke his ankles pretty much. But let's look at the long shots. I think we both agree on the first call-up is Matheson as the number 8. But then after him, I think you have Weegar, Racine, Olsen.
I'd go Matheson, Olsen, Racine because he's a left-handed shot over Weegar.
Yeah,
I mean, Dale Talon loves Mackenzie Weegar. He loves him. He always talks about him all the time. How, you know, maybe it's because he was a 7th-round pick and he looks pretty good for what he is. You know, might be a little thing there, but you know, he definitely has all the skill in the world. And even though he's a smaller, quote unquote, smaller guy, he's thick. You know, he's over 200 pounds at 6'0", I think, or 5'11". You know, with all that skill, and
he's put,
you know,
some size on too.
Yeah, he's mean too. He'll lay you out in open ice. You know, he's not a guy that is gonna take any. So I mean, I like Weegar. You know, talk about him as a future power play quarterback. Maybe, you know, another guy we just drafted, Thomas Chemitz, is another right handed defenseman who has tremendous offensive skill. So you know, our right side is, no matter what, we're set for the right side looking forward. Olsen, we already talked about him. You know, look to have a bounce back year. He's going to start in Portland. I almost said San Antonio. That would have been embarrassing. But he's going to start in Portland. You know, and he's going to have to work his way back. And, you know, like we said, he was a first round pick for a reason. He has the ability to do it. There's going to be a time that comes when he's probably going to get a call up this year.
Yeah, you know? I hope so. It'd be cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, number 4. There it is. Number 4 curse for the Panthers.
Oh, boy.
No, well, Weegar got his 52 this year, so he doesn't look like he's a newbie with 98.
Yeah.
So Uyghur's looking much more normal. And, you know, he played better down the stretch for San Antonio as well when he got that last call-up. You know, I think he started in San Antonio, struggled, went down to the ECHL, struggled there for a little bit, picked it up, got called back up when the Panthers had all their injuries and they were calling guys up from San Antonio. He got the call back up, and he played pretty well down the stretch, I believe. I think I remember reading stuff like that. So, you know, he's got the skill. He definitely has to work on this defense still, but, you know, not every defenseman is a great defenseman. Some guys are just much better offensively.
Yeah, and...
And Weegar's going to be that type of guy.
Yeah, it's a tough position, too, to, you know, it's harder... You know, for a defenseman to be good, you know, you have to be good in all three zones.
Right.
For, I mean, forwards, they have to be good in all three zones, but if they're scoring goals, like, and if they're kind of bad defensively...
You can turn the other cheek, really.
Exactly. You know, it's like... I know people give Ovi flack and stuff like that, like, you know, he never plays defense, this and that, but he's good defensively. But imagine if he played zero defense and he just scored 60 goals all the time, like, if he just stayed in the neutral zone, like, I wouldn't complain, you know, he's
Kovalchuk.
Scoring goals, yeah.
That's
like,
Kovalchuk right there.
Hey, Kovalchuk was great shorthanded, all right? I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but Kovalchuk was such a cherry picker. It was like Burre when he was here. Like, just sit at the blue line and wait for the pass to come to you.
Hey, when if it works, it works.
Yeah, and I'm giving David flack because
there's four other guys on the ice. Okay, they can easily make up for it.
Oh man, this is a great conversation we're having here. This is fantastic.
All right, so I mean, goalies are set. First call up, if aside from Rob Tallis, first call up from the AHL.
Well, that's debatable. Is it going to be McKenna or Britton?
Yeah, I don't know. They both look pretty okay. They're not good in the training camp. Of course, the game's a different situation.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have that rock of Dan Ellis coming back.
Rock. Pet rock.
You know, Dan Ellis, he got a lot of crap. But, I mean, when this team was bad, I don't feel like you could blame him for that, you know? Like,
we had no defense. We had nothing there, but Stone.
You know, I feel like some people don't think about that, you know, when they talk. Like, same thing with Kulikov when he was paired with Weaver, you know, and stuff like that. When your team is bad, it doesn't matter who's in net, you know, sometimes. You know, you'll just lose games because the other team's just better. You know, it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stop every shot. I mean, the rare game, you'll have, you know, 40-plus save, one goal against, 2-1 win. But that's rare. You know, some of the games you have 45 shots against, 5 goals against, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, Dan Ellis managed to save his career last season with the stretch he had here.
Yeah, he was good down the stretch, you know, when both guys were kind of hurt.
Kind of hurt. Oh, that damn game. Don't want to talk about it.
But, you know, he stepped up, and everybody was, like, you know, so surprised. And, like, and I'm sitting there, you know, watching the game. I'm like, I'm not that surprised. The team's night and day better from the year before, you know. It's not that surprising because the Panthers, you know, we were playing good in that last month and a half, you know. So it wasn't that surprising. You know, they played the best hockey that they were the whole season in the last month and a half. So it doesn't surprise me he came in and played good, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not here. And then if you call Britton up, what's Britton going to do? You know, you don't know.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, as of right now, if season's on the line, playoffs or not, in March after the trade deadline, I wouldn't be comfortable starting Britton if both of my starters are, you know, starter and backup are out. That's for sure.
We're going to roll with the Tallis-McKenzie combo.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's our combo for the stretch run right there. I mean, I saw Luongo giving McKenzie some goalie lessons earlier this week. So, hey, it'll happen. We'll get our dream. I wanted Rob Tallis to play that game because he's played 99 career NHL games. And that would have been such a way to get 100. That would have been the best way ever to get your 100th career game while you're the coach. I mean, how amazing would that be?
They actually had the Red Wings coach was actually dressed up in goalie gear yesterday or today. And I thought it was pretty funny. He was doing drills.
Nice.
It's like, you know, it's just like a weird situation. But, you know, as of right now, our goalie prospects aren't amazing, you know. But as you've seen in the last couple of years, it could be anybody hopping in there, it seems like. Right. You know, you have Scott Darling, Andrew Hammond, you know, Dubnyk's turned around night and day. Got some ridiculous contract, which is just, I don't, his, you know, the guy that manages him should just, he should be win at life. He just wins at life because that contract is ridiculous. But yeah, you never know. Like, it, you know, some goalies are just good in certain systems, like Brian Elliott, or, you know, any Ken Hitchcock coach team. You know, the goalie just seems to always be good. It doesn't matter
until the first round. There.
Well, that's a different story.
Shots fired.
But yeah, I mean, we don't play defensively like St. Louis or New Jersey with Marty Brodeur, that system goalie.
Don't start that argument. That is a different argument for a different day.
But yeah, I mean, we don't play that. You know, Horacek's not here anymore, so we don't. You know, we're not playing in our end the whole game. You know, we're not trapping. you know, that boring style of hockey. So it's, you know, if you look at Luongo, he doesn't even succeed in that. So if we started playing like that tomorrow, it'd be like the year that he got traded out of Vancouver. Because, you know, you have all these guys blocking shots and then your team's hurt the whole season. It just doesn't help.
Yeah.
But I don't see us changing styles anytime soon.
No, we play a good style. Yeah. Gallant's got a good balance here.
I'm a huge fan of Gallant. I hope he stays for more than 3 years, like the last 100.
12 coaches.
It's I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's just a revolving door of coaches. So if he can stay there more than 3 years, I feel like it's a success. You know, we play, I don't want to call it exciting hockey. You know, we play solid hockey. It's not like the Islanders or something who just stop playing defense at one point. It's really exciting to play. Yeah, they're Stars. It's exciting to watch because it's like a 6-5 game and it's fun to watch.
Stars are going to be the most fun team in the NHL this year.
But, you know, we could use some more goals this year. You know, 225 is the mark to get into the playoffs, I'm saying. I don't feel like we get there. But, I mean, if we get near it, I mean, it would be awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It's absolutely possible. You know, if all of that top line were to get 20, that's 60. You know, I talk about Peary and Bukestad possibly getting 25 each. That's another 50. That's 110. Peary and Jokinen each, you know, I've marked them down for 15, that's another 30, so that's what, 140, and then you get a bunch of depth guys, you know, scoring goals, so hope, you know, I mean, it's possible, not exactly 100% likely, but, you know, like I said 100 times already, my belief is that the second line is going to be the line that controls this team.
Yeah, it's possible. I feel like we have two solid first, second line. I mean, they're not like superstars, but I feel like, you know, both are very good offensively. You know, I feel like Barkov and Huberto are still going to grow. Bukestad, Peary can still grow. Mm-hmm. Even Riley Smith, you know, he's still young. You know, we have so many young guys that can continue to grow and grow and grow into, I don't know about superstars, but, you know, very solid first, second, you know, 1A, 1B lines.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about taking the next step.
Yeah, I mean, our top six is solid, so, you know, when at some point we do have to mix up lines, you know, we can definitely see these guys all possibly play together. I mean, we saw some success last year when Huberto was with Bukestad for a brief period of time before he moved to Barkov. So, you know, there's definitely additional combos that we can use if we need to kickstart the offense a little bit with that top six.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, things are going to play out however they play out. You know, there's competition for that, you know, third line wing spot, fourth line wing spot. And, you know, Kraus is going to get his games. Grimaldi's going to get some games. Brickley might get some games this year. You know, this is a team that's right there on the cusp. You know, and it's going to take just a little bit of luck, a little bit more puck luck, a few more goals.
Yeah.
To put us over the edge there.
25 few goals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Luongo puts up another year similar to how he did last year.
Hopefully.
It's very possible he can. I mean, he looks good right now.
Montoya needs to step up as well. He wasn't absolutely. As good.
Yeah, and Montoya was coming off a great season.
Yeah, you need to take that pressure off a little bit. You don't, you know, what is he, 37 now? 36? Yeah. You don't need him playing 65 games.
And that was with the injury.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But I feel like this team could be very exciting. I don't know. You know, I'm very pessimistic towards this team at times, but I feel like...
We all are.
I feel... me especially, because like I would go to games last year, and you just sit there, and you know it's going to be a 2-1 game. You know, and we'll play them and stuff, and we'll lose 2-1 in a shootout or something. But this year, it's kind of a different feeling. I feel like it starts at the ownership down, kind of.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to say it feels like the playoff year, but I don't know. At the playoff year, I felt it. You know, I felt it before the season started. I don't feel that quite yet because there's so many other good teams in the East.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like we're close. I don't feel like we're there. Maybe like halfway through the season that will change. But as of right now, it's not there in the playoffs for sure. Like, I knew for sure like before the season started. Like even though they started kind of slow, I guess, even though they had a good start, and then it sort of kept going from there. It felt good, even with Jose three or more in that,
Yeah. And again, with that season, we had luck.
Yeah.
Nicholas Backstrom missed 3 months with a concussion. I mean, that was the number one reason why the Panthers won the division. And, the Capitals ended up, I think, eighth in the Eastern Conference that year, only 1 or 2 points ahead of, I think it was Buffalo or Philadelphia or whoever it was that was the last team to the team in ninth. So, Backstrom were to stay healthy, that who knows what happens with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. They could be the ninth or 10th place team. So, it's going to happen. People are going to get hurt. It depends on who. It depends on how long. It depends on puck luck. Somebody breaks out. Some other guys struggle. They get old. That's what makes the NHL so great. Anything can happen. Mm-hmm. You saw it with Ottawa this year, coming out the last 30 or so games and just going on a ridiculous tear. If the NHL season was longer, you would have saw that with Columbus too. They were the hottest team in the NHL down the stretch. Nobody even talks about that because they didn't make it. They played themselves out of the McDavid race last season. They're a team to look out for as well. The team Panthers might be battling for that last spot if it's, 4-4. Or the Panthers can sneak in a division spot. They might very well be better than the Red Wings. Time's going to tell.
Yeah, it's hard. It's a long season.
We got till April.
It's a long time, and stuff can change a week at a time.
Yeah.
Trades.
Free agents can still be signed. Preseason guys get hurt all the time in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Who was it last year? Jordan Staal. Last year he busted his knee in preseason, missed 2 months to start the year.
I don't remember. I don't follow the Hurricanes that much.
Somebody's I think it was Jordan Staal who got a major injury, busted his knee or his ankle or something to start first game of preseason, and that put the Hurricanes behind the eight ball. So things like that can happen.
And that can happen at any time though. It's just the amount of luck you have and stuff like that. But like we said earlier on, an hour ago into this podcast, start off if it let's just say if we play 10 games in October, you go 6-2-2. I think you're off to a good start.
Absolutely.
They always say at Thanksgiving, if you're in the playoffs, you're probably going to make the playoffs. For Toronto, that wasn't the case, but for most teams, it was. At Thanksgiving, that's when Toronto falls off historically, and it just happens.
Yeah.
But if we're there, I think more people get excited about it. And I feel like there's just a more overall positive thought going into the season than last season.
You didn't know what you were getting last season. Yeah, but the group of guys that was all new coach, new coaching staff, everything was brand shiny and new for us last year. So, this year we kind of know what we're going to get. The roster's pretty much the same. We're relying a lot on natural growth from our players. We're relying on a mix of youth and veteran leadership, and all that jazz that we all heard a million times. And it's just a matter of what happens when you hit the ice. Because you can talk about teams on paper all day, but none of that matters until you hit the ice.
You even saw that kind of last year. I loved Gallant. He was my pick from the start. So I'm super happy we got him. But, you looked at opening night. We start on the road, played a great game, I thought. Opening night at home, awful,
I was at that game. That was a nightmare.
Yeah, there was a good, that was, if that happens again, it's just, it was
a letdown.
It was an awful feeling, opening night usually, it's supposed to be something special, it's like a special game, and then you just felt like, it had no energy by the end of the first period. You just had the life sucked out of you, and you didn't expect anything good to come after that. You could have went 0-82, and it wouldn't have surprised you.
Yeah, and that was Luongo's worst game of the season, too.
Yeah.
After that point, he was He was very good almost every night.
I can't really fault him that game. It was a lot of screen goals and stuff like
that. Oh, yeah, a lot of tips and
Typical New Jersey.
Jersey.
I mean, that's how Clarkson scored a good amount of his goals, and then he scored the 30.
Well, that's because he was playing for Pete DeBoer. That's the only reason why Clarkson was playing good, because it was Pete DeBoer. They should trade Clarkson to the Sharks.
Oh, boy.
Water bottle police over there in Columbus. Don't touch Bobrovsky's water bottle, man. You're going to have to answer for it if you do.
You know, if that happens again this year, opening night against Philly, oh, man.
It's gonna set the atmosphere for another...
That's going to be a tough game, honestly. Yeah. Philly's a good team. I know they didn't make the playoffs. I just Steve defense. Mason had a good year.
Steve Mason had...
They've improved quietly. The defense. They have a couple good deep prospects now, but, I mean, their contracts at defense now are awful currently. But they have a lot of good deep prospects.
They have a lot. They have great deep prospects, but their NHL defense right now is
one
of the worst in the league.
Yeah,
to me, it's one of the worst in the league. Mason very quietly the last couple years has put up great numbers. I think he had like a .927 save percentage last year. So he was like top five in the NHL. You know, his goals against wasn't, you know, super fantastic, but that's because of the defense unit in front of him. I mean, who's your number one defenseman there? Is it Streit? And then after that, what is it, Gudas? Rodko Gudas?
I don't know.
Oh, God, no.
Delzato.
Oh, yeah, Delzaster, who played pretty good last year.
Yeah, he did.
Give him credit.
He did.
Give him credit. He earned his deal. Good for him, you know. Had some trouble, bounced back. Well, that's what it's about there. But, you know, it's a game. Expect Sean Thornton in the lineup. Well, they don't have Ronaldo anymore.
No. They got a third round pick for it.
And Boys gets bought out. Still don't get it.
I still think you do Thornton opening night. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people like him.
I would. He's more a well like liked. He's great for the community.
Yeah. But that's a huge game. You know, I know it's one of 82, but that game's like the biggest game, I feel like, in the first half of the season, just because you need that game. Like you need to set the tone.
Yeah. Especially with, you know, the fans.
The fans and the players and all this stuff. Because, I mean, last year, you know, you're 0-0-1 opening night. You lose 5-1? 5-2?
5-1.
And your only goal came from the fourth line?
Derek McKenzie.
Come on now. Like, you need a better start. You know, I would love to see, you know, before that game... I think they didn't win. They won five straight home openers.
Yeah, and something like that.
But I think if it's like the first game of the season, I feel like it's like four in a row currently. But you know that probably changed now because I said then. But you know it's if they can win that game, like scoring like four or five goals, like a, big time game for the offense. I feel like you'll get people kind of hooked to it. You know.
And everyone will be confident. You know, we're going into the season with the team's going in with confidence this year.
Yeah.
And that's a big difference. It's less insurity, it's more confidence. I mean, last season, the only person who was, like, so sure of everything was Luongo. And, you know, I mean, he's really, I mean, Willie Mitchell's the captain, but Luongo really is kind of the leader in that locker room right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's the guy that goes out and says, hey, we expect to make the playoffs. We're not here to just play hockey and have fun. We have a job to do. And that's the right attitude to take for this team. And it's just all about going out there and taking that next step, shutting up all the people in Quebec who say we should move, and just finally becoming a consistent playoff team.
Yeah.
This is the year to really just do that.
For sure. And, you know, again, last year, you had so many guys start off so slow. Barkov, Huberto, everybody, all these guys, so slow. And you just... If they can start up good, then they'll have a great year, you know.
It's all about confidence.
You look at their second half. You know, the second half was great.
Yeah. I mean, even before the Yager edition, you know, Huberto and Barkov were tearing it up together.
Yeah.
And who were they even playing alongside of?
You know, UC Okin in a little bit.
Yeah. The Brad Boys a little bit.
Peary didn't work with them.
No, Peary was with Bukestad.
Well, I think they put Peary on the first line for a game or so, I believe, and then
yeah, I think it wasn't
working out too good.
No, it was like done by the second period.
Yeah, but you know, if those guys can click, you know, if they can't keep all three together, at least keep two of them together. You know, hopefully, You know, you just need it. You need one line clicking, or two lines clicking, or even three, if possible. And then you're going to have a great season. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't think we're in the playoffs. I feel like we're close, not in. But you never know.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. All right. And with that, an hour and 20 minutes into this. If you made it this far, good for you.
Hope you enjoyed an hour and 20 minutes of us telling bad jokes and talking over each other.
Yeah, and I felt like it's gone pretty well.
Yeah, more fun this time. Yeah, we had more fun.
This has been Raining Rats Radio. Hope you enjoyed it, because we enjoyed it. If you want more of our podcast, make sure to follow us on iTunes. I believe it's Rats and Pucks on there. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure you can search Raining Rats Radio. You can follow me on Twitter at _DR_DEE. Can follow Ethan at, what was it?
EthanG0515.
Alright, just follow him on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Make sure you follow us on iTunes. Go to the website, ratsandpucks.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter, ratsandpucks. Same way as the website. You know, if you like the podcast, leave a like. If you like it, leave a review on iTunes. Mention us on Twitter. Share it with your friends, your grandma, your neighbors, anybody. But as always, I'm your host, David Hovnan. Thank you for listening.